And good afternoon, Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, October the 24th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program, and we have got a great hour for you today. The man who is on our program this hour has visited with us before, and we are always thankful every time he visits. Now, let me tell you a little bit about him. He has written a book, came out last year, The Grouchy Historian, one of the funniest, most informative books you will ever want to read. Get it for somebody this upcoming holiday season, or give it to somebody any time of the year. It's good any time of the year. He still tours the country with plays, A Man and His Prostate. He has won 7 Emmy Awards, more than any other male in the history of the Emmy Awards. Best known for his roles of Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, and of course Lou Grant, which I watch every night just about before I go to bed. He is a kind man. I have met him in person. He is genuine. He is just the best. And when it comes to acting, the Emmy Award should tip you off to this. If we had a treasure for acting in this country, this man would be the crown jewel. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones each and every time the unprecedented Ed Asner. Mr. Asner, how are you?
Unprecedented.
What a life, Mr. Asner. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Doing well. You just returned from a tour. You were up our way, up in the Michigan area. How was the tour?
It was exhausting, and I don't relish doing it again. But all the crowds we played to were so giving in terms of enjoyment.
What is it like to perform in front of a live audience? Is it still a kick?
Oh yeah. Three camera TV shows with an audience is a great way to die.
Are the audiences receptive all over the country?
You know, I don't know whether these people were selected to be in the audience or what. But it, you know, the content. Neither one is decidedly liberal in terms of content. So I guess they people in general, no matter where I was, responded very nicely to both plays.
That's good.
They dug the humor, and they laughed quite appreciatively.
Do you find that now, with all the news we're bombarded with, that people just want to go somewhere and laugh?
Oh, God, yes. With the news we've got, it's standard procedure. Find some way to forget it.
When you look at a piece of material, how do you decide if you're going to do it or not?
Well, if it's a comedy, if it's funny, there's no question. And certainly it wouldn't be offered to me if I wasn't right for it. If it's drama, if there are tender moments, if it touches the heart, I'm for it.
You know, it's interesting. 7 Emmy Awards. When you hear that, what does it make you think of? What do you flash on in your mind?
7 dwarfs.
Where do you keep your Emmys?
They're scattered throughout my office here that I'm speaking to you from. Hopefully they're not conspicuously displayed. They're certainly open and noticeable, but not glaring.
So few people have done what you have done. You won Emmys for Lou Grant on Mary Tyler Moore, which was a comedy, and you also won Emmys for Lou Grant on Lou Grant, which was a drama. What an amazing feat that was. What a great character.
Well, it was. It was a dough-faced character that left you room to expand either way. And thank God we found the main vein to drain to give it those dimensions.
You know, I notice with all the reboot television, Roseanne and Murphy Brown and Will and Grace, has anybody ever approached you about doing Lou Grant again?
No, I don't know why. I suppose they like to dwell on the fact they think I'm a troublemaker, but I'm not. And I'm a sap. I go along with stuff that I should forsake in terms of content. But no, they haven't. And Lou Grant, I think, would he'd probably be too controversial at this point. So they're worried about it. I don't know what to tell you, except that this wonderful load, L-O-D-E, of uranium called Lou Grant is waiting to be mined.
Somebody is making a mistake there, because with fake news...
Yeah, you tell them.
Oh, my. With Twitter, I mean, my goodness, to have Lou Grant back on the scene, what fun would that be?
Well, if you got the writers, there's no problem at all. We certainly have the problems. I mean, can you imagine what Lou Grant would do with 7,000 people marching up from Honduras?
I would love to watch it.
Uh-huh.
Where would Lou Grant be today?
And I would say this, that if it was on Lou Grant, you'd probably get a decent airing as to why they were marching, how they came to march, and the reasons behind them, and put to rest all these scurrilous tales of Muslim infiltrators and all that crap.
You know, it's interesting, because you played that character on both a comedy and a drama series. If Lou Grant came back today, which kind of venue would it be in? Comedy or drama?
Well, it really would take genius to write comedically about the problems we're infested with. The easiest way to approach it would be to do it dramatically, I think. But at least get it done.
Lou would be an older gentleman now. What would Lou be doing today?
Chasing girls, just like I do.
He certainly could teach journalism.
Yeah, he could.
Right.
But I hearken back to when I was a high school editor, and my beloved teacher passed by and my desk, and he said, "Are you thinking of journalism as a career?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I wouldn't." Crestfallenly said, "Why not?" He said, "You can't make a living." That was in 1947. So imagine how desperate it's become for journalists since that time.
It's an interesting business. What do you make of the president's attacks on the press?
Well, the press needs to be attacked, but he's the wrong person to do it. Because he's a headline hog. He's benefited from the press far more than most people. And he makes himself noteworthy, I started to say. Noteworthy. I like that.
That was good.
Every day, he tries to create something. And, you know, from the fact that they haven't been able to analyze it, they're worried that he could be around for a second term, which would be god-awful.
You have been a celebrity, well-known figure for, boy, half a century now. Is it hard to deal with the press when something uncomfortable is going on in your life?
No, I haven't. I haven't found it so. They're not that interested in me. Really, it's been, I'm certainly not noteworthy these days. It takes wonderful, courageous characters like you to bring me to the attention of his audience. But you've got a bunch of, I don't know, newbies out there that people are more interested in, I guess, or that they write about.
But you know...
The obits are where you'll find my peers and me.
But you know, you have a quality that very few people have. No matter what you're in, I can't change the channel or turn it off. It's just, I still watch Lou Grant every night. I think it's one of the most fascinating series that was ever on television.
It had great writers. Great writers that didn't show enough appreciation for.
Mm. You know, here's something I want to let the audience know. Ed Asner is on Twitter. The only Ed Asner is the handle. Do you like Twitter?
I have to tell you, my son does it for me.
Oh.
And I must say, I cloned a pretty good issue there. He knows me like the back of my hand. And I never give him the back of my hand.
What kind of father is Ed Asner? What would your kids say about you?
I think, three dead. Two of them. You see, my daughter Liza, who answered the phone with you originally, we live together, and she does my booking for the touring shows. So she's pretty snippy with me, and we're like cat and dog. I don't think that she's going to give a fawning description of Dad. The other two keep their distance and therefore can speak fawningly of Daddy.
I've met your daughter, Liza, and she is a wonderful person. So we have to give some credit to you on that one.
All right.
Yep.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah, as well you should. What would you tell somebody? I meet a lot of people in high school, college, who want to do what you've done so well, acting. What advice do you give those people?
Well, get on stage. You learn how to act on stage. And then after you've gotten enough experience on stage, then you can afford to move to film and TV. Or voiceovers, or whatever you want to do. I have as much fun doing voiceovers as I do acting. So it's all the same to me. It's transporting oneself into a different shell, into a different costume, and making the listener believe.
You also love, it seems, love the news. Have you always been interested in current events?
Yeah, I have been. And I've been very disappointed. I mean, I read the New York Times regularly, and I certainly became soured on the press when they helped lead us into the war on Iraq with false reporting. But I think they've straightened out since then. They've tried to become a better paper since then. So I'll stick along with them for a while. But there are many good papers out there. The LA Times certainly is a fine paper now. Washington Post. All those good papers deserve to be supported. Because in the end, I think print is what will save us.
What do you see coming up in the upcoming elections? Less than 2 weeks away.
Surprises. People are going to be shocked on either end.
In a good way or a bad way?
Well, no, it depends on how they bet. those who bet right will be shocked wonderfully, and those who didn't will be aghast.
Do you have an idea?
There are more and more books coming out, treatises, reflecting how it's the end of American democracy. And I'm a gloomy Gus who tends to think they have a point. The fact that the gap between the one percenters and the rest of the country is horrendous. The fact that we're solidly confronted by a Republican-appointed Supreme Court, which cannot take. Cannot suffer. The Senate cannot suffer. Women who testify against appointees, they've got to vote them down. They've got to drive them into the streets. I'm very unhappy with the way we are.
When did you see it take a turn?
It's a slow, it's like the red tide. It just keeps coming in, and finally you're all red. I don't know. I don't know when it happened. You think when we elect a black president, how we elected a black president, I'll never know. But then after he got in, some things he did were good, others stunk. He was not a superior president. And after he got his chance, of course, we need to have a woman up there, and then eventually a Hispanic. But they don't want to let women have a commanding role, that's for sure.
You know, the big news story is today, of course, the pipe bombs that were delivered to CNN and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, just this morning, Secret Service intercepted pipe bombs that were sent to Hillary Clinton, former President Obama, CNN was evacuated in New York, and George Soros got one sent to his house. So when you hear a story like that, what do you think about?
Well, I would say that a guy who would waste a pipe bomb on Hillary Clinton when the Electoral College destroyed her, which it shouldn't have, is penny wise and pound foolish.
It's an interesting morning, to be sure. You know something? You have to have a tremendous amount of courage, because you have spoken out many times.
You know something?
What's that?
Pipe bombs delivered to those particular sources. That's great news for the left. If President Trump or what's that chinless wonder who heads the Senate? What's his name?
Oh, Ryan?
No. The other one.
Oh, McConnell. Mitch McConnell.
The chinless wonder. if they didn't get bombs, then it shows that this is certainly and definitely an attack on the left. And our beloved president might scream about infiltrators and Muslim terrorists. It seems like the enemy certainly seems to be based on the right. Don't you agree?
It'll be interesting to see what he has to say, because these certainly were all, yet a Democratic president, Democratic First Lady, Democratic supporter in Soros, and CNN, which people think is liberal. So yeah, it's definitely a tech. I don't see any Republicans in that mess.
But that's the big news today, huh?
That's the big news, and apparently they're being called rudimentary bombs, but functional. That if somebody had opened them, it would have done some damage.
I'll be damned. Well, that's what we live with, or die with.
Well, that was bringing me to the point that I was saying, at the height of your career, you spoke out on some very sensitive issues. You had to have courage to do that. I can't imagine the mail you got sometimes.
Yeah, well, I had a show canceled by that eminent philosopher who headed CBS, who owned it. What the hell was his name? I can't remember. Bury him in obscurity. That's what we'll do. Lou Grant dealt with those problems, and even Mary Tyler Moore in its own little way did it. It's all been growing like this for a long time. The fake news on the right wing side, as I pointed out earlier, the New York Times ushering in our invasion of Iraq. What else have we seen scandalously unreported? The refugees. The fact that our immigration problems. Obama tried to get the Congress to deal with it. They wouldn't. And Mr. T certainly is not dealing with them in an appropriate way.
You know, there are two questions I have always wanted answers for. Maybe you can help me with this. With the immigration thing, why don't we ever go after the business owners who are hiring the people if we really want to get tough on it?
Well, why don't you ask Donald Trump why he's even considering continuing with the Saudi Arabian arms deal when they are so deeply involved in the murder of a journalist?
What do you make of that story? That is horrendous.
It's ghoulish. It's truly ghoulish. And as cute and as manly as the Crown Prince presents himself, I think he should realize that he's coming across like a schmuck.
Do you think any of these things, the refugees, the murder of the journalist in Saudi Arabia, these pipe bombs being sent out today, is anything going to turn that group of people, that base that loves the president, against him?
No. They love his daring do. They like the fact that he shoots from the lip. And, they're also dumb. I mean, we all get frustrated by government. We want action, action, action. But sometimes, you live long enough, you realize not doing anything right now would be best. I mean, here's the lead story in the New York Times I got today was a guy who took poison and was in a parked car on the East 12th Street. And only people who caught occasional of his decomposing body realized that there was something rotten in Denmark.
Well, that's quite a story.
Yeah.
You know, last night on all the news channels, the big story was that President Trump called himself a nationalist. Do you think he does things like that on purpose, or that he just doesn't know what that means?
Well, I know what it means, and that's what he is. He's a, you can call him a nationalist. Hitler was a nationalist, too. Stalin was a nationalist. I don't know, what's your question?
Well, do you think he does it on purpose?
I have no idea if that man has any purpose at all, other than to keep saying I am the president. I think he's disgusting.
It's interesting, just to keep people updated here on this ongoing story, New York mayor has been quoted as saying what happened this morning is clearly an act of terror, and apparently Debbie Wasserman Schultz's office in Florida also got some kind of a package, and she had to be evacuated as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she wasn't worth it.
What happened to the Democratic Party?
It lost its fine. And when you have two contenders like Al Gore, who wouldn't contest Florida on the voting, and then followed by a man I was proud to know at that time anyway, Kerry, who would not fight for the last yard. They gave up because they can make money elsewhere, I guess. So we don't have any guys who want to see how long they can hold their breath at the bottom of the tank.
What do you consider yourself at this point? Are you a Democrat? Are you an independent?
I guess you could call me a socialist. What? I haven't even investigated socialism, but I know that if the 300 plus million people here are not properly taken care of. The one percenters are taking the money. That unions are not thriving in our country. That we should have guaranteed housing. We should have guaranteed income, whether we're working or not. We should have guaranteed health, and we should have guaranteed education. And all those millions, the 1 billion that we're making out of Saudi Arabia when we sell them those killing weapons, if that isn't distributed to creating those things I said we need, I think a socialist would see to it that they were. So I leave it to them.
Did you ever think, or were you ever approached about running for office?
You know, when I got into trouble, people thought I was using the bully pulpit to stage my next campaign. But I never thought of it. You have as much clout as an actor speaking out than you would as a... I think Al Franken discovered that. And I was disgusted at the fact that they led a campaign to drive him from office when his offense was innocuous.
You have been, as we said, around show business for a long time. Did you know that sort of thing was going on? The Harvey Weinsteins and all this in the
no.
New...
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I'm just glad that I wasn't found guilty.
I'm glad, too. I'm glad to hear that. When you look back at the era of the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Lou Grant, what's different now about television? You still do movies and television. Did a great movie on the Hallmark Channel this year. What are the differences?
Well, I think there's much more chaos with the proliferation of producing and distributors. It was much cleaner when I started out with a few studios, three networks. You knew who was boss. And the bosses generally were decent people.
You have always seemed to be employable. What do you think has kept you employable through all these years?
Well, I knew I wasn't God's gift to women. So I concentrated on being the working stiff, the man's man, so to speak. Every man. I wanted to be the average man. I think concentrating on that created the dimensions by which I was able to work.
When a script comes to you today, what kind of parts do you get? What kind of offers? Is it grandfathers, judges?
Yeah. Nothing. I don't leap tall buildings.
Was there an Ed Asner type? Were you sent a lot of roles that were typecast, I guess is what they call it?
I suppose the father figure, the uncle figure, the grandfather figure. I can remember at the time we got, I was hot, and we got two scripts in, Christmas scripts. One dealt with a rich family, the other dealt with a poor family. And I took the rich family. And it became a classic. It was called The Gathering.
Mm. Absolutely. When you...
I felt guilty because the poor family certainly needed all the encouragement that they could get. But the rich family had a better script.
I would imagine that a director or a producer or anybody working on these sets, when you walk in, has to be somewhat intimidated. Do you find that to be the case?
I suppose so, but it takes shape in many different forms. I haven't figured them all out yet. That includes, you know, being sassy, in your face, to get over your nerves, that type of thing. As I leave the meeting, I can assure you that I'll be swearing and shouting, "It wasn't enough."
Do you like to watch yourself?
Yeah, because I don't do anything anymore, that much anymore. I don't never get a chance to see myself.
At the time, did you like to watch? Did you stay home on Saturday and watch Mary Tyler Moore when it was on?
Yeah. I was never disappointed.
Why does that show continue to hold up so well?
Writing. Always the writing. Whatever show it is, no matter how lustrous the star is, the writing ain't there. The show ain't there. And Law and Order is a good example of that. They went to an army of people, but they knew how to write and deal with subjects that affect us daily. Law and Order, what else? Excuse me. I don't know. You fill in the blanks.
Is there any show today that you would like to do? If this show called, you'd say, "Wow, I'd like to be a part of that."
Well, I'm on a recurring basis with a show that Netflix is doing. CBS Productions is making it. It's called what the hell is it called?
We'll see if we can find it out here.
No. I know. It's one of those age tricks. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, don't you?
I do.
My God, man. How much prompting do you need? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. Because I just started on this thing. And it takes a while. I'm going to Savannah on Saturday. That's what I'm thinking about these days.
Oh.
Yeah, they're honoring a movie I made.
Which one was that?
The Parting Glass. And it's got a host of wonderful actors. Including that candidate for governor of New York, Cynthia Nixon.
Cynthia Nixon.
Dead to Me is the name of the series. You can see how it was difficult for me to remember that.
That was good, though. We came to it. That's all we need. We just need the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out. Is there anything upcoming that you're excited about doing?
No. Busted play in Fresno. Let's see, when is that? Yeah, that's Savannah. Then, I'm doing that in Fresno November 9th, and then on November 10th in Orange County, I'm I've been asked to appear with Ned Benning and Gary Cole at a reading of a new play. Then I go to New York on November 13th. I'm honored in New York. I don't forget who's doing it. And then I have my birthday on the 15th. And what else is there?
It's a big birthday coming up. Do you have any big plans?
It's not that big a birthday. What? 45 is a big birthday?
Yeah, 45 is a big one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Will you be in New York on your birthday? Are you coming back to the coast?
I'm coming back to the coast.
Do you like going to New York?
No. I don't like crowds. And New York is one huge crowd.
When people come up to you, when you go out and tour and do these shows, when people come up to you, you've been in their living rooms for so long, what's the reaction you usually get?
Oh, I hate spunk, I guess. Which is a tragedy, because I love spunk. Spunk is what the Democratic Party needs.
You could do commercials for them. They need a little of that. They need a little get up and go.
It's
interesting because when you started, there were, like you said, only three networks. Now everybody's got a web page and a camera. Do you get approached with that a lot? People walking up with the cameras, trying to get a picture, videotaping you saying or doing something?
Yeah, but most people are really very polite and will ask if they can take a selfie.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about people.
When you look back at your career at this point and the Emmys, which were great, is there something you didn't get to do that you still want to do?
I want it all. I've learned to be shy and retiring, and I'm still waiting for the definitive role.
Is there any type of role that you won't do?
Not that I know of. Well, I've played a slave ship captain. I played a brutal father in Rich Man, Poor Man.
You were the Pope?
I was the Pope. Yeah, and my son did the young Pope. So, I don't know. I think we're on the verge of finding out secrets about this humanity. Either artifacts or the space explorers will land and reveal themselves to us, something like that. It's just a kick in the ass I think we as people need.
Something I wanted to make sure to mention before our time ran out, the Ed Asner Family Center. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it was created by my son, that wunderkind I keep talking about. He is he ideated this thing, he and his wife, and it's a family center for his son, my fourth child, is autistic. He's 31 now. My regular son has an autistic child himself, and he's married to a lady who has two boys who are on the spectrum. So we are primarily dedicated to creating a center for families to turn to be assisted on their children who, for the most part, we're talking about autistic kids, but there are other types of afflictions that would respond well to the Asner Family Center as well. And we hope to have it up and running by December. And people have been very generous so far. And I say that's due to the expertise of my son, Matthew.
It sounds terrific. Before we part ways, I wanted to ask this, because...
We're not parting ways, are we?
I know. I'm sad. I'm sad. It always goes by so fast. Too fast. Do you know at this point that you're Ed Asner, 7-time Emmy winner, more than anybody else, male-wise, television series, you... If you did nothing else in your life, you were a success at the profession you wanted to do above what anybody else could imagine. Do you live in that moment?
Am I what?
Do you live in that moment that you are that guy? That has done...
That would indicate gloating. I live in the moment that I was one lucky son of a bitch. That I was a junkman's son, and I was the youngest of five, and I followed my instincts and became an actor, which was ridiculous at the time. And I was able to survive and thrive with it. So I'm a lucky, lucky sucker.
Want to make sure to mention this before we part ways. The Ed Asner Family Center, you can get information on that by searching the internet. The Grouchy Historian, tremendous, tremendous book. Check that out. A Man and His Prostate. Mr. Asner goes out and tours with this. If it's in your area, you want to go see it. And if he is on television or on a movie or on the screen at any time, you will want to stop. Ed Asner is one of the most genuine, nice, just a mensch. The best person you could ask for. And his kindnesses to me, your kindnesses to me, have been amazing over the years. And thank Liza, as always. And I hope you come back, Mr. Asner.
Thank you. Ed. Right now it's Ed.
Ed, you come back anytime. You are always welcome here for whatever you have to say.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed. Take care. Stay well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. The legendary Ed Asner. And we're going to take a break, and we're coming back with an interview you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned.
6:30, along with youth group at the same time.